This is my Bible. It is the word of truth. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can. I'm a believer and not a doubter. I am a believer and not a doubter. I'm a doer and not just a hearer. I'm humble before the Lord. I am humble before the Lord. I'm obedient to the Lord. I'm mature in the Lord. I'm enthusiastic about the Lord. I know that. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing the word of God. My scripture today comes from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Thank you, Brother Anthony, for having my little pulpit ready. And not the regular size pulpit. Thank you. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. To trust in the Lord with all your heart, that means you're giving him everything. You're totally surrendering. You're all in. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Sometimes the Lord might tell you to do something. Sometimes he might tell you to go someplace, but you put your own thoughts to this. You're leaning on your understanding. But the word just says, lean not on your own understanding. In all ways, acknowledge him. Father, I thank you for the good, and I thank you for the bad. I thank you for the ups and the downs. I thank you for the trials, because sometimes the trials have a way of putting us back on the right path. Sometimes the trials have a way of humbling ourselves. Sometimes the trials make us examine ourselves. So in always acknowledge him. I thank you, Father. And he shall direct your path. You may be seated, church. Father God, I thank you for this day, Father. I thank you for this moment. Lord, I pray that I decrease and you increase, Father God. Let your word go forth, piercing the hearts and minds, Father, even those that's online. I just thank you, Father God. I ask that you bless this moment. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to also thank Pastor for giving me the moment and the opportunity to bring this word. I also thank my family, thank my wife, my kids, Wayne, Mercedes, Isaiah, my grandkids, Azariah, Tyler, and Amir. Does that mean I'm getting a little older age when you start forgetting your own grandkids' name and they stay with you? But I thank God for them. I count that as a blessing. It's a blessing. Some folks don't have grandkids. Some folks don't even have the opportunity to lost lives. But I thank God for everything. The Bible tells us to count your blessings, name them one by one. So I thank God for those opportunities and those blessings that he has blessed me with. Church, my objective for today is for everyone who are listening in this building or online to evaluate their walk. Even myself, to search within being persistent, being committed to being all in. To evaluate our walk. To search within. Having great persistence in our walk. Being fully committed to being all in. And today I'm going to show you some examples in the Bible of folks that was, I consider, being all in. Some who just looked the part, played the part, but not all in. Someone may ask, all into what? All into your Christian walk. Being persistent in the faith, the hope, the love that Jesus talks about. Why is it so important to ask this question? Are you all in? Church, we are in a spiritual warfare. If you haven't known by now. And just to piggyback, first Sunday, Minister Calvin talked about a force behind the battle. And he also mentioned that there is evil forces out there. And the main objective is to try to destroy us, believers, Christians. There are people just like you and I, look just like you and I, who are fully committed. They are all in, giving themselves up to darkness. To accomplish this, bringing harm, danger, even trying to destroy us as believers. I've been cutting hair for a long time, and we have several discussions in the barbershop. And just recently, we had a discussion, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing. This just let me know that things are changing. There are folks that was arguing with some of us, defending the devil. Defending the devil had all types of reasons why it was not fair. He was set up from the beginning. And I was so shocked. And one of them was my good friend, defending the devil. Saying, if God knew everything, why the devil would dealt that hand? I was just shocked, church, that they were defending the devil. Even when I was out there in the world wilding out, there's some things I just would not do. I did not play with demonic stuff, and I did not defend the devil. But to continuing on, second Sunday, Minister Layton talked about the power of credibility. Having a good name. Say what you mean, and mean what you say. Amen. We serve a God who says what he means and means what he say. And I will show you later on. But Minister Layton also talked about the eclipse that happened. And we also had a discussion in the barbershop about the eclipse. This one particular guy that was there, I don't know if he worked in the zoo or what, but he was talking about the animals, and he just confirmed what Minister Layton was preaching about and talked about. And he said before they had totality, the animals knew something was going to happen. They were acting kind of strange-like. But then when the total eclipse was happening, the animals didn't know what to do. They were confused. Some was acting crazy. Some didn't know if it's to go to sleep or stay awake. Just for that moment, in those animal world, in that little animal understanding, their whole world was shaken up. Church, you could see change, things are changing, and not for the good. There is heavy darkness coming, believe it or not. If you look at the laws and some things are changing, like it's supporting these things. People, worlds, and the understanding will be shaken up too. They're going to be looking for answers. They're going to be searching, looking for the believers, looking for those who are supposed to be the city on the hill. The light's supposed to be shining, Brother Anthony. The ones who are supposed to be the salt of the earth. The believers who said they were all in. The ones who say, I say what I meant, and I meant what I say. The ones who said I would be fully committed with great persistence in this walk. The ones who accepted the call to go higher. The pastors, the ministers, the deacons, even down to the believers. You have a part to play in this too. You see, some of y'all are sitting on powerful gifts, powerful testimonies that could help your brothers and sisters. This is not the time to be hiding, fading away. This is not the time to be staying home when God bless you with strength in your body. It's a time to come together, encouraging each other. It's a time to uplift each other. It's a time for all of us to start spreading the gospel. What is the gospel? The good news. It's the antidote for the world today. So I ask the question, church. And before I ask you, I ask myself also when I was preparing this message. Are you all in? This is not the time to give up. This is not the time to be fading away. Struggles might come, but I say, hold on. Look at Jacob in Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 and 24. And I'm going to summarize and paraphrase. It said that Jacob wrestled with a stranger. He wrestled with a stranger. All night he wrestled with a stranger. Not giving up. He held on. Being committed in this fight. Some of us threw in the towel early, but Jacob held on. He was persistent in this fight that he would not let go. I could see Jacob as being all in. The Bible lets us know that he fought all night till day was about to break. The angel come to find out the stranger was an angel. If you don't know the story, I'm helping you out. So the angel had to go back. But Jacob was so determined. He was so committed. He was so all in. He said, I refuse to let you go until you bless me. Church, sometimes when you're all in, you have the ability to change things in your favor. When you're all in. When you're all in, you could talk with that power. You could act. Oh my gosh. It's time out for the church being scared. Everybody else is taking a stand for what they believe. Everybody else is coming out. Everybody else is doing whatever they want to do. But where are the ones who say we all in? It's time to take a stand, church. Sometimes you gotta boil your chest up at the enemy. Look at him face to face. I don't know who you are, but I know the God I serve. The one who holds the whole world in his hands. The one who is mighty in battle. I don't know who you are, but I know I'm a child of God. I don't know who you are, but there's a heavenly kingdom backing me. I don't know who you are, but I know I'm operating under the authority and the anointing of my God. Sometimes you got to be all in like that, but you got to know who you're about and who's in you. See, when you all in like that, it gives you strength to overcome things. Even when people are accusing you of stuff, you don't have to get in a word battle with them. Even when folks trying to persecute you. Look at David and Goliath. I consider David being all in. Not being scared. Time out for folks talking crazy about your Lord and Savior, your God, and you just sitting back. Your excuses, well, I'm not in the discussion. But they're talking about your Lord. They're talking about your God. I know if I was sitting down someplace and somebody was talking about my son or my daughter, my kid, I would have something to say. Even if you welcome me in the discussion or not. But we sit down and we hear folks talk crazy about our God. The true and living God. The one who puts the very breath in your body that you're breathing right now. David was all in. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine talking crazy about my God? Everybody else was scared. They say they were all in, the soldiers, but they were scared. The Bible lets us know that David ran to the enemy, handling his business, then cutting the head off. Time out, church, for being scared. Time out. And it's time for some action. See, that kind of all in gives you boldness to face accusers, to even face those that even try to persecute you. There's a story of Ananias in Acts 9, verse 13. When you get a chance, you can go back and read the whole story. And it tells us that Ananias accepted the call to go to the house of Judas to see the one who called Saul of Taurus. And while on his way there to see Saul, Saul had a vision of Ananias coming to see him. Now, if you're familiar with the story, you know, Saul, Paul, he got hit, he lost his sight. And Ananias was coming to restore his sight. But listen to this. He accepted the call. He got up and he went. He did not lean on his own understanding. He was all in. He left. Look at verse 13. If you don't have your Bible, I'll read it to you. Ananias answered the Lord. And he said, I heard from many about this man and how much harm he has done to your people. This is what Ananias is saying. Lord, I've heard of this man and how much harm he has done to your people, how he persecuted some of these people. But you see, Ananias was all in. Even if he heard about this thing, he was still committed to carrying out what needed to be carried out. He was not leaning on his own understanding. What if I get there? What if this happened to me? He was fully committed. There were no second guessing his walk, church. Sometimes the Spirit might tell you to do something, and we second guessing. But Ananias was all in. He had that boldness to go see, to restore the sight of the very one who were persecuting believers. Right. I'm going to share a little story with you that happened a couple of years ago. And it falls under when the Spirit tells you to do something, don't second guess, don't lean on your own understanding. There was a gentleman that came to the barber shop, and I guess his son had supposed to have been there first or whatever, but I guess they probably had an argument before they even came to the barber shop. So they were going back and forth, and I'm listening, and I'm like, wow. So I'm continuing cutting, and then the argument got a little intensive. The son, who was, you know, sometimes you kind of say stuff under your breath, but then when you get fed up, you just start talking out loud. I'm like, whoa. Something gonna happen. So the dad said, you better shut your mouth before I knock you in your face. I said, wow. So while I'm cutting, church, the Spirit told me to go give this young man a hug. And I'm gonna be honest with you. I start leaning to my own understanding. I said, man, this is me talking to myself, you know. I wanna get into this thing. I don't know what they got going on. That's between he and his son. But again, my spirit was being troubled. It was telling me, go to this young man and do what I tell you to do. And I wrestled with this thing while I'm cutting it. And I said, you know what? Let me be obedient and let me go do this. I'm showing you something, church, when you lean not on your own understanding. I walked over. And all I did was hug the young man. While he was in the chair, I hugged him. And then I held him tight. And all I felt, did not say a word to him. I just held him while he was in the chair. And I felt rejection. I felt not understanding. There's a couple other things I felt, but I can't remember. But I felt a whole lot just from this hug. And as I squeezed this young man tighter, all of a sudden he just broke out crying. When you lean not to your own understanding, when you're fully committed of being all in, sometimes the very things he tells us to do, it might not make sense to you, but do it. But let me continue on. Remember in verse 13, I said that Ananias heard of what this man has done to a lot of believers. Church, what are people hearing about you? The things that they're hearing about you, are it drawing them to your Lord and Savior, or is it pushing them away? Look at the lady that had the issue with the blood. She heard about Jesus. And what that did, draw her near to him. Look at the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, and I'm going to go through verses 18 and 28. But in John chapter 4, There was this lady that always went up to fetch water at noontime. And at that time, the Jews and the Samaritans, you know, they didn't really talk or hang out with each other, anything like that. So at that time, it was kind of empty. So that was her time at noontime going up to the well to fetch water. And there she met Jesus. They're having a conversation, and Jesus is telling her that you could drink from this water all you want, but you're still going to thirst again. But here's Jesus telling her that if you drink from this living water, you will never thirst again. So at one time, the lady got the revelation, and she was committed to being all in. Now listen to this, church. In verse 18 of John chapter 4, Jesus told her that she had five husbands. And the one that she's with, the man that she's with, is not hers. Now I want you to see the power of this. In verse 28, I'm going down to verse 28 now. After she committed to being all in, after she got the revelation, this lady left the water. The very source that was important to her, she left it. And the Bible tells us that she went back to the city. Now listen to this. She went back to the city, not to the man that Jesus told her that she was with, that is not hers. But she went back to the man. In other words, she went back spreading the good news, telling the men about Jesus, the one she met, the good news. Church, some of us say we're all in. But of all friends we ran into, how do we tell them about Jesus? Even the ones who we messed around with, slept with, for some reason, some way, we just ran into them. Have you tell them about Jesus? If you are in, you would. That's why I ask the question, church, are you all in? See, sometimes in life, you might be on your journey, doing your own thing, living life, when you come across the truth. And we all know that the truth sets you free. And you made the decision to be all in, to follow Christ, to make him Lord and Savior, repenting from your sins. Sometimes folks get on board later on in life. But here we're going to look at the story of the young rich ruler who been around from since young. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 22, and I'm summarizing again, it talks about the rich young ruler. And this rich young ruler saw Jesus. And he came running up to Jesus, striking up a conversation, until Jesus started telling him about the commandments and the principles. So he told Jesus, "I have kept all these things from since I was a youth." From since he was little or a kid, he kept all the commandments, the principles. He knew about that stuff. So he asked Jesus, "Where do I lack?" So that let me know also that from since young to old, he'd been around in the church. He'd been around the Word. Seemed to be all in. But when Jesus told him to sell your stuff and give it to the poor, he couldn't do it. His natural possessions meant more to him than salvation. His natural stuff had a stronghold on him that he couldn't even realize salvation was right there in his face. Do you have anything today, church, that is holding you from being all in? See, this man looked the part, but he was not all in. Do you have any earthly things, any bonds that you have made, commitment you have made that is holding you, has a stronghold on you? Sometimes we devote our time into a whole lot of stuff, but the Bible tells us only the things that are done for God will count in the end. My wife always tells me, baby, be careful of how much time you spend in this and this and that. Because that's one thing we don't have control over, is time. Sometimes we spend time in all other stuff. In our clubs. In our, I'm fighting to say this, but I say this with love. Sometimes we put more time in our sorrows, our frats. But if you say you're all in, sometimes we put our time in the wrong things. And sometimes the things that we put all our time in, it just don't sit right with us. We've seen the truth, but we still won't accept it. The reason why I say this, sometimes, and some of y'all might know what I'm talking about, you might be, oh, Lord help me. Whew. You might be standing on your square sometimes. And you might see some things that don't line up. But do you play a blind eye to that? I'm talking about things that could have a stronghold on you. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. You see, this guy looked the part. He knew the scriptures from back to front. Was raised up in the church. He was more religious, but had no relationship. You see, he knew of him, but yet did not know him. My wife had an argument with me. Not a bad argument. It was a good argument. And Pastor told me, don't say it. But Pastor, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it light. I ain't going to emphasize it. I said that the rich young ruler was a counterfeit. So she said, why you say that? I said, well, you know, I explained the story to her and stuff like that. She's like, well, Wayne, I don't think that's right that this man worked hard to obtain all his wealth and he should just give it away like that. I said, wow. I said, good point, because I don't believe in bashing anybody point, and you know, but I believe in discussing stuff. And I said, good point. She said, yeah, I don't think it's right. He worked hard to obtain all this wealth and Jesus was just going to tell him, give it away. But I said, baby, that's because he knew of him, but he didn't know him. Because if he knew him, he would know the same thing he gave away, he could be blessed with more. And I say he knew, but spiritually, I also told her, babe, listen to this. The Bible tells us what it is for man to gain the whole world and lose his soul. What would this rich young ruler profit from taking all his wealth? You know what, Jesus, I don't want to do it. And the very next minute, lose his soul. The very same one who said, I kept your commandments. I kept your principles from since young to old. Looked the part, but was not all in. I remember one time. I gave a testimony, and he was talking about, I know I didn't tell you, Pastor, but I'm sorry. He said that Back in his days, you know, he just used to come in, dress good, look good, and couldn't wait for church to end, pay his little money, and then go and gamble. Look the part, but not all in. So I'm asking you, church, are you all in today? Are you all in today? Because there might be some of us sitting in here who was raised in church, raised hearing the word, but have no relationship, haven't made the Lord a Savior in your life. Counterfeit, not all in. Let's look at the story of Judas, and we know this. Judas been around Jesus. He saw all the good Jesus was doing. Setting people free, healing them, doing miracles. But what did Judas do? Betray the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. This is the very man who traveled with Jesus. The same man who ate with Jesus. Betrayed the Son of Man. And betrayed him also with a kiss in the Garden of Gethsemane. That kiss was a sign to the Roman guards, letting them know that this is the one they need to capture. Church, your enemy might be closer than you think. Let me tell you something, church. As believers, as Christians, if at this very moment that all of you guys who say that you believe in God, you believe in Christ, you give your life to the Lord, if for some reason, this very moment that you guys was being hunted down, believers was being hunted down, turning to the authorities for ransom, I kind of believe that the very same ones who are sitting next to you, who said that they are all in for Jesus, might betray you. See, sometimes we look at Judas and we criticize, like, man, you've been there. But if your very life depended on it, would you betray your own brothers and sisters who you're sitting right next to right now? If you were being hunted down, are you all in? You see, I look at Stephen. And when you get a chance, you could go back and read Stephen in Acts chapter 7, 54 through 60. It lets us know that Stephen was all in, all the way to the end. And sometimes being all in might require your very life. Stephen was falsely accused of a crime. He didn't even talk back, raise a fight, nothing like that. In fact, the Bible lets me know, when you read the story, that before Stephen died, you know, they bring him forward and they were about to stone him to death. If I was being stoned to death for something I haven't done, I don't know if I'll be praying for the very same folks who's about to stone me, asking God to forgive them. But this man was so all in, church. He was so committed. He was all in that he prayed. He said, Father, do not charge them with this sin. In other words, he asking God to forgive the very ones who are about to stone him to death. For a crime he did not do. That's being fully committed, all in. For God I live, for God I die. Whew. My last person I'm going to talk about is Job. And I'm coming from Job chapter, the first chapter, verses 13 to 22. And it tells us that Job had lost everything. He dealt with a great loss of his livestock. And back then, your livestock was wealth. But not only that, Job was dealing with gangs. This one particular gang, the Sabaeans, they came, took his livestock, and killed off some of his servants and members. Job also dealt with a fire. And Job also dealt with another set of gang called the Chaldeans. Took his livestock again. Killed some of the servants. Killed some of the members. But that's not even all. There was a windstorm that came from the desert, crushing his family. Job was going through a whole lot. From wealth to nothing. Family members dying. But that's not all, church. Job was also stricken with sickness. I could only picture Job hurting, but not just emotionally hurting, but also physically hurting. Emotionally hurting is important too, because some of us go through that. Suicidal thoughts probably came through Job's mind, but Job was just committed to be all in. He wasn't going to give up. The same way how you and I might be going through some stuff. Some of us might be facing rejection in life and just can't get over it. Some of us, PTSD, depression, that is a serious thing. Going through these things, but you're still holding on. While you're still holding on, sometimes suicidal thoughts come to your mind, especially late in the night. But you're still fighting, my brothers and sisters. I say, hold on. You don't know who to call when you're dealing with this. You might have somebody on your mind to call, but you're like, you know what? They got their own problems too. You're experiencing pain in your body. Sometimes you go to work. Sometimes you come to church. You're smiling. You feel good. But the folks don't know how much it took just to get up in the morning. The aches in your joints, your bone, your back. Before you could have just get out of bed, now you got to ease yourself out. But you're still committed to being all in. I say press forward like the song, the dancers did. Keep on going forward, church. Some of us have heavy burdens, things we haven't expressed or let out. You hold that thing in, and you're crying. I say, hold on, my brothers and sisters. Sometimes you come to church. Can you stand for a minute, Brother JP? You come to church, and you shake a brother's hand. But inside you have pain, you're suffering, but I'm smiling. Good to see you, Brother JP. But I'm hurting inside. I say, hold on, my brothers and sisters. Sometimes you give a brother or a sister a hug. But you're hurting on the inside. The inside is screaming. You're screaming on the inside for help. Yeah. But the scream is silent. Uh-huh. I say, hold on, my brothers and sisters. Yeah. If you say you're going to be all in, be all in to the end. Yeah. It's the reason why I say, hold on. It's the reason why I say, stay committed in this fight. You're screaming. You're dealing with these stuff, but yet you're still smiling. I say, hold on. You remember what I told you, that God is not a God who can lie, nor his words come back to him void. In Isaiah 61 and 7, you don't have to turn there. In Job 42, 10 through 16. In Zechariah 9 to 12. In 1 Timothy 5 to 17. In 2 Kings 2 to 9. That's just a couple of verses that ensures us, that lets us know that his word is true and it cannot come back to him void. He cannot lie. He tells us the same thing he did for Job. Job, who had lost everything. But because he was all in, fully committed, walked that walk with great persistence, the Bible tells us that everything that Job lost was restored back to him. And more. And more. So I say, hold on. For all of the struggles and the troubles you go through, glory, the blessings double just for you. So I say, all, I say to each and every brother and sisters, those that's in here, those that are online listening, I say, hold on. Don't give up. For all the trouble that you go through, I'm telling you, the word say, the blessing's going to double just for you. Why? Because the best is yet to come. Go ahead, Marcus.